Rob?
Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know.
What's going on? What's going on, folks? All right. Woohoo! That was on me. I apologize about that. Thunding where you're at? Something
doing
like
what
that?
You
is
do, slacking.
Is it thunder where you're at or anything like that or no?
No.
Okay. I've got some thunder here. It's all good. All right, so anyway, what's going on, man? Let's say welcome to the Talking Sports 12th Man here. I'm playing around with audio here. Welcome back, guys. Talking Sports 12th Man, your boy, Andre, as always. You got Robert Ford as well. Got a great, great show on it for you guys. Man, a lot of things have transpired over the past couple of days since we last talked, but I guess we're going to talk about a couple of things. Obviously, we're going to talk about the NBA Finals. Oh, man. Some people not showing up. LeBron James, meaning. What are we else talking about? We'll talk about wide receivers here. And I think that's the main stuff. I think we've got one more thing to talk about. Last part. What was the last thing we were going to talk about, Rob?
I'm just going to squeeze in some NBA draft talk.
That's right. NBA draft. Oh, that's right. NBA draft talk. See, I didn't remember that. And
a little bit of NFL lockout. Will it be ending soon? Hopefully it will.
Hopefully it will as well. Good job. Well, I guess the first subject is obviously the NBA playoffs. And the last time we talked, we said that there'd be a new champion. I'm sure not everyone thought it would be the Dallas Mavericks, but that's exactly who it was. So, you know, no matter what happened, and LeBron James is getting a lot of flack. I guess what's your thoughts on how LeBron played, or is it more or less like you think Dallas just literally was more prepared, or kind of what's your thoughts on the actual game about what happened?
Well, my take on the LeBron situation is that I think not enough credit has been given to Dallas. I think there's so many people that's on LeBron right now about and the way he played, but I don't think enough credit has been given to Dallas. And, you know, I think it's twofold. I think Dallas did an incredible job. They had an incredible plan for LeBron James. I mean, people forget LeBron James closed out four quarters against Boston. He closed out four quarters against Chicago. And so I give more of the credit to Dallas.
Yeah.
Now, there probably could have been a few things that he could have done to help, but I think, and the way I kind of analyze it is that I just think Dallas did an incredible job on him. And you really have to give them credit. And I don't think enough people are giving them credit.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, too, because, you know, obviously it's hard to judge the heart of another person, you know, because whenever you're looking at the way Dallas played, I mean, a lot of those players were, you know, they were a veteran team, you know. So you had a lot of players like Karloff lost a couple times, coach in Detroit. You know, Jason Kidd lost a couple times before he finally got his. Obviously, Dirk going through what he had to go through. And, you know, you put all these people together, and then, you know, you have a bowling pot of players that are like, man, you know, we're here showing up too. You know, Dallas that really knocked off a pretty good, you know, Los Angeles Laker team. So that's something else that you got to remember too. So I'm sure everyone suspected, you know, LeBron and D-Wade and Chris Bosh to show up and kind of like wipe the floor with them. But Dallas, you know, was a pretty good team as well too. So, you know, like you said, you know, LeBron played well too, but, you know, it wasn't all him, you know, like everyone's saying.
Yeah, and Rick, we'll say Dallas has improved tremendously playing defense over the last few years under Rick Carlisle. And, I mean, they were once considered a run-and-gun kind of ball club. But their defense was incredible in the finals.
And all throughout the playoffs. Yeah, I called them a running-gun team as well. I figured they were just going to run-and-gun, but, you know, they actually prove something wrong to me, because they actually stuck in there and played some, like you said, tremendous defense against LeBron, which caused them to have those little problems thinking that he didn't show up in the fourth quarters, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you know, and they have been playing defense tremendously well throughout the entire playoffs.
Yep.
And they have been shooting the ball incredibly well. They have so many good 3-point shooters on their team.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they're matching. In a lot of cases, they're hitting threes and other teams are hitting twos. And that kind of stuff adds up by the end of the game.
Yeah, I guess threes are definitely more than two, right? You know, so.
Yeah.
But one thing.
You look at the box scores, man, they will hit 10, 15, 20 3-pointers in one game.
Yep.
So the bottom line is, I was personally pulling for Miami, but the way I kind of look at it is Dallas was definitely the deserving winner, and you got to give them a lot of credit. And unfortunately, a lot of people are looking at this as the finals that Miami's lost as opposed to the finals that Dallas won. And I don't think enough credit has been given to Dallas.
Yeah, I agree. Everyone thought that, you know, Dallas just came in there and just like, yeah, okay, we got it. You know, like you said, LeBron didn't play what he was how he was supposed to play. But like you said, you got to give Dallas a lot of credit. And you know, it's still shocking. I mean, from my vantage point, I don't want them to win the first time out because I figured they had to go through something before to showing up and being like, oh, we got the game. That's my thing. I thought they had to go through some things before they can, you know, be championships. And I think losing has definitely allowed them to become, you know, to learn some things, you know, about the Heat, you know. So, you know, I don't know what they need to do next year moving forward, but, you know, obviously they got to add some more shooters and whatnot. But, you know, yeah, it's going to be interesting moving forward.
In all honesty, prior to the season, I didn't think Miami – we would have gotten this far. I thought they still needed a few more pieces. And so I think they might be slightly ahead of schedule, but they still, obviously, the finals proved that they need a few more pieces. You know, Dallas at all times had five players, and Miami didn't, you know. It was almost a 5-3 kind of game. And Dallas was just much deeper than it was as well. So it proved a lot of things. Joel Anthony's a solid defender, but man, he doesn't give you nothing on offense. I don't even know why they're passing the ball.
just to keep the guys honest, I guess, you know.
Yeah, so they're gonna need some help to get those double teams off of LeBron James.
Yeah, it's gonna be interesting moving forward. I mean, I definitely hope Dwight Howard is still there, but. You know, we'll see how everything plays out moving forward. They need to surround those guys as shooters, and hopefully, you know, Mike Miller being hurt will help the Heat as well. But, you know, I'm not crying for them by any means of the imagination.
Dwight Howard wants to play with Chris Paul.
I think he wants to come back home to Atlanta, too. So, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, man,
either he's going to come to New Orleans and play with Chris Paul, or Chris Paul's going to go to Orlando to play with him.
Here we go. See how we're trying to create our own little rumors and stuff like that. I guess you want to talk some NBA draft since we're already on the NBA right now. Is that kind of a good time to segue into that, or you want to like wait till the
TV
show?
Yeah, I think that'll be a smooth transition. NBA draft on next Thursday, June 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Like 7 days out.
And not a entirely strong draft class, but. More so just want to talk about who we think our top four or five players are going to be in the draft. Looks like all indications are that Cleveland is going to draft Kyrie Irving with the number one pick. How do you feel about that?
You know, like I said, I haven't seen enough of Kyrie play to actually, you know, justify him being number, you know, going number one. But, you know, from everything, from all indications of what you're hearing as far as the workouts and everything like that, you know, the dude is like, he's a pretty much true point guard with a great throw of the game, you know. So, you know, I keep hearing he has a chance to be special. Now, I'm not sure what type of player they're comparing him to. I know I've heard some comparisons to maybe a Mike Conley, maybe Chris Paul a little bit. But if he's compared to Chris Paul, I mean, you can't help but to be excited if you're a Cleveland Cavalier fan.
He's 3 inches taller than Chris Paul, too.
If you get, like, a 3-inch taller – I mean, I like Chris Paul. I'm a fan of Chris Paul. I ain't going to – even though he plays for New Orleans. But, you know, so the biggest thing you got to worry about him is he durable enough, you know. Is he kind of built more like a John Wall? I mean, I don't know, you know, but that's definitely something you have to think about. But, I mean, what an amazing, talented player and, you know, has a chance to come in there and make an impact right away.
Yeah, and I, you know, in my personal opinion, I think Derek Williams is the overall best player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, Cleveland, you know, with them having two picks in the top four, they definitely going to go with Kyrie Irving because they feel like they can get a big man in the number four. And there were some rumors about Cleveland even getting the number two pick in the draft. They'll have their 1 and 2 pick.
Wow.
I don't know if they're going to pull it off, but there's been some talk about it. And so we'll have to see how that kind of plays out. A lot of mock drafts have Cleveland taking Enes Kanter, the big man who was supposed to play for Kentucky this past season but has some eligibility issues. He's from overseas, about 6'11", 260. So if you pair him with Kyrie Irving, that's a pretty solid draft for Cleveland. And that's the downside. You know, like I said, I think Derek Williams is the best player in the draft, but if Cleveland takes him number one, they won't be able to get a point guard at number four. So that's
gotcha.
So that's why you have to take Kyrie Irving if you're him. And then, you know, lose out on Derrick Williams, but you get a guy like Kanter at number four. And a lot of indications have Brandon Knight going number three to Utah. Of course, they traded.
Wow.
Deron Williams away. So, you know, is this guy the replacement or is Devin Harris the replacement? That's the question. Some other big names, Jim.
Yeah, you're fine. I was going to ask you about Jimmer Fredette, like where you thought about him, because I'm kind of – I don't know if this guy's going to be a player on the next level either, but I know you're probably getting ready to talk about him, but go ahead.
Yeah, Jimmer Fredette, he's an intriguing prospect. Most of my drafts that I see, I'm going anywhere from 7 to 15, and which is, you know, probably a legitimate range for me. I probably see him more of as a 12 to 15 kind of guy. And but I kind of think Jimmer Fredette, I don't see him being a starting point guard in the NBA. I kind of see him coming off the bench, you know, being a scoring kind of point guard or a scoring two guard off the bench. And I don't think that he has athleticism or the defensive ability to be a starter. I kind of think he'll come off the bench and be a scorer off the bench for a team. So It's hard to justify a player like that to go to top 10. That's why I kind of see him as a 12 to 15 kind of guy. Kemba Walker, now he's the guy I think can be a starter in the NBA. And, you know, some people have Fredette rated higher than him. So we have to
– I was going to ask, do you think that, that's the kind of thing, if you flip off, if you say, like I say, Cleveland goes Derek Williams, do you think they may get an opportunity to go Kemba Walker? I mean, I doubt this is going to happen. They're probably definitely going to go with with Kyrie Irving, but you know, where you think about Kemba, you think he's actually gonna make a big impact in the league?
Yeah, I don't know about his rookie season, but I think he will be a. I think he's a guy that can be a starter in the NBA long term. I don't know about his rookie season, but definitely long term, you get him in the right situation on a team that needs a point guard. I think he can be a starter. Your Atlanta Hawks are projected to take Malcolm Thomas, power forward from San Diego State, in the second round.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I don't know. What about Amon Shumpert? You think he's going to, you know, where they? I know he's like a second-round pick too, right, in other words?
Is that the Georgia Tech kid?
Yeah, the Georgia Tech guy. Yeah, our 6'5 guy. That's just a, you know, college guy that I thought was going to.
Looking at a mock draft here, they got him going 44 to Chicago.
Wow. Wow.
Point guard slash shooting guard, 6'5".
Should have stayed in school. Should have stayed in school, but that's just me. That's kind of a jealous, that's on me. But interesting. Anybody else, man, you think is gonna, you know, make some impact or make some waves here as far as from your? I mean, like I said, it doesn't seem like there's a strong, like, a lot of, you know, players. I mean, Sheldon Mack, anything you think about him, or maybe like Kyle Singler, anything about those guys you think, or what? Or even a Nolan
I'm
going
to tell you who's an intriguing prospect to me that I think could be a real sleeper, but he won't go in the top 10 because of his height, and it's Kennett Fyree.
Oh, wow.
Forward from Morehead State. You know, I'm looking at a mock draft right now. I've got him going 21 to Portland. This guy is a rebounding machine, but he's only 6'7". And he is a rebounding machine and a great defensive player. Somewhere in that Dennis Rodman, Paul Millsap mode.
Oh, wow.
And, I think this guy, and the only reason he's going to drop into the 20s is because, you know, what is he, 6'7", 6'8", 6'9"? You know, if he was 6'10", 6'11", he would be a top 10 pick. And but you got to
like
realize,
Charles
Dennis Rodman
like
was
6'4".
Dennis
Charles
Rodman was
like
only 6'8". Rodman was 6'8", and he was a rebounding machine. You look at a guy like Paul Millsap. So what is he, 6'7", 6'8"? And some people think he's 6'6". Paul Millsap, another rebounding machine, and has improved his scoring ability. I think he's a guy that is going to come into the NBA and surprise a lot of people. And he's a workout warrior. He's a hustler. And, you know, he's definitely going to be an overachiever in the NBA, in my opinion.
Wow, you heard it here first. Kent Fareed, I believe that's his name. So, yeah, we'll see how he plays out, man. I agree with you, man. I agree. Don't sleep on that Kimball Walker, man. You can't measure heart, you know, and Isaiah Thomas had a lot of heart too, man. So I'm kind of thinking he'll make an impact in the league. So that's just me, you know. So I kind of like the short guys in the league, you know. So but we'll see, if you will.
And, you know, you mentioned Kyle Singler, Shelvin Mack. I mean, those guys are looking at some mocks, you know, looking at them going about 28, 29, latter part of the first round. So we're probably looking at those guys going.
Yeah, I'm always going to see how the draft, because, you know, everyone says this is not a strong draft. So we'll see how everything plays out, if there's any impact players, you know, to come through the draft at this time. So, you know, definitely Kyrie Irving is definitely the guy, and we'll see how his career takes off from there.
Great. Yeah, I think we got about another 9 minutes or so. We're going to move on to another topic.
Yeah, let's go ahead and jump into the NFL rookie wide receivers are going to make an impact, and you are exactly on point. Looks like this is definitely a new switchboard I'm looking at too. So it doesn't really tell me how much time we have left here, but moving right along, I guess we'll jump into that, and segueing it too as well. As far as, you know, we're hearing some good news that the lockout is going to be over, so that's exciting because. You know, I don't want a shortened season of 8 games or anything like that, especially being a Falcons fan. So let's get the party going. Rookie wide receivers are going to make an impact. How can I be remiss not to talk about Julio Jones of the Atlanta Falcons? How can I say that?
I knew you were going to be excited about this.
you got to be. Now, granted, I've been listening to a lot of sports talk about the move. Thomas Mitchell was on the radio, actually, I want to say Tuesday, talking about the move. And he was pretty much not that he had to defend the move, but he was just basically saying, I apologize for all these draft parties because I pretty much messed it up because moving up and making that move. And his vantage point was, you know, talking about explosiveness. He was really excited because he didn't feel like Julio was a diva wide receiver, if you will. He was more like, I'm going to get some work done. We've been having some individual mini camps led by Matt Ryan, and he said that, you know, he described Julio as a baller. He was, you know, stretching and making plays, and, you know, he didn't have to do this during these individual workouts, but he was excited about everything that he was hearing. So here was a guy that's in a prime situation. He's not forced to become the man, and he's got a lot of good pieces around him with Roddy White and with Tony Gonzalez and adding, you know, Jaquizz Rodgers. So I think he has a chance to be really special. I'm not talking about, you know, maybe not Randy Moss type special, but really adding a certain dynamic to the offense.
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about it. I think when you talk about rookie wide receivers, it's two guys for me, and that's A.J. Green and Julio Jones. Right. They definitely will be the two guys that will come in and have the biggest impact. And, you know, one thing about Julio Jones as well is the guy is a great blocking wide receiver too. And that's one trait that just about all of Nick Saban coach wide receivers have in college. They actually, you know, turn out to be great blockers as well from the wide receiver. And kind of like Hines Ward a little bit, but he's definitely a guy that athleticism-wise has a little bit more athleticism than Hines Ward. But we'll have to wait and see if he turns out to be as good as a football player as Hines Ward. But he definitely has a business. Yeah, to me it's about those two guys. A.J. Green, depending on who's going, his quarterback is going to be, I think you can look at him having a huge impact from the wide receiver position as well. A guy with great hands, great athleticism, great body control as well. Not as good as a blocker as Julio Jones. He might be a slightly better receiver than Julio Jones. And another wide receiver you got to keep your eye on, in my opinion, is Leonard Hankerson from Miami. He's going to the Redskins.
We're on the same page, Robert.
He would be the third guy on my list. And as a guy that can come in, whether he be a starter or as a slot receiver, you know, and once again, it kind of goes back to who the quarterback will be in Washington, too. I've got to wait and see how that goes. But he's a guy that I definitely think could be a guy that has a better pro career than he did in college.
Wow.
And so that's going to be interesting to see as well.
I'm kind of torn because, you know, as much as, you know, being in Georgia, you know, you definitely think that A.J. Green is definitely going to make an impact no matter what team he goes to. But, you know, you do kind of feel for him because everything that's going on with Cincinnati, as you mentioned, who's going to be their quarterback? You know, no idea. So I think that may hurt him a little bit. Dude is a beast, obviously, no matter what happens with him. I also like Titus Young, too. I mean, you know, did you go to Detroit Lions, if you will? Is that where you ended up going as well?
Titus Young.
I believe from Boise State. I want to say he went to Detroit.
Yes,
you know,
he's definitely from Boise State.
Yeah, but if I'm thinking that correctly, then, you know, you talked about a guy that's coming in that has an opportunity to do some stuff, too. But, you know, we're
Titus Young, believe it or not, is some people think he could be another DeSean Jackson. So that,
exactly.
You know, if he lives up to that, that'll definitely be a steal. Yes, he did. He was definitely drafted by the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, so, you know, you talk about a team that's loading up as well. So, you know, I'm looking at them. But, you know, as mentioned, in a trade that you could possibly elaborate, knowing a lot about Nick Saban, too, you know, and the comparison to Julio Jones, I mean, if you compare him to Hines Ward, I mean, I think most Falcon fans would be like, woo, we'll take that, you know. You know, because this dude's obviously a Hall of Fame type wide receiver. You know, hopefully Julio Jones has, you know, a little bit more speed, but still, I mean, you're getting a great competitor. I mean, you know, things like that, I don't think you can teach, man. So we're excited, obviously, having a player of his impact to be playing for the Falcons, and I thank you for letting me have this little moment here. You know, even though we're still not happy with what, you know, we're still kind of struggling with a lot of stuff that we gave up, too, but, you know, at this juncture, you know, we'll see. Real quick, I'm going to turn the page here. What do you think about Plaxico Burress and him coming back? Do you think he's going to get picked up by a team, or what do you think his deal is? Because, you know, this is an impact wide receiver, if you will, and is he going to be a target for some team in the free agency?
Yes, I think you're going to see about five or six teams have a serious interest in him. You know, I think the Jets and the Eagles will probably be right at his front door, you know, as soon as this lockout ends. You know, I think those are two teams. The Jets are probably going to lose either Braylon Edwards or Santonio Holmes. I don't think they're going to be able to keep both of those guys. One of those guys will be gone, which means they'll need another starter. I'm almost willing to say the Jets might be the favorite, but I know it's way too early to talk about that until this lockout's over as well.
Yeah.
But he's a guy that's definitely is a playmaker, and even though he did have this weapon on him in New York, he didn't hurt anyone else. If anybody, he hurt himself. And I think a lot of teams will be a little more understanding with his situation than most. So yeah, he'll definitely be on someone's roster when it comes to training camp.
Gotcha. Well, like I said, at this juncture, like you said, it always surprises me how fast we fly through the show. So once again, we're near the end of the show, I guess any last thoughts about what's happened this week? We're not gonna get a chance to come back next week because some obligations too. But anything you want to talk about as we wrap up another great edition of Talking Sports with 12th Man?
Well, I guess the thing right now is starting to become a quiet time of sports. And stay tuned for us for another couple of weeks, and we'll move on to some tight ends in the draft. That's a little bit intriguing. And we'll recap the NBA draft, and hopefully by then lockout will be over as well.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be interesting to see, what teams do some stuff in the free agency world once that happens, because there's going to be a rash of things going on with signing of the undrafted college free agents. Obviously there's some big targets that I think certain teams are going to go after. So it's going to be it may not be as quiet as we're thinking, but I'm kind of curious to see how everything happens. But like I said, number one, it depends on what happens with that NFL lockout. So, good news is that everyone's talking and they're looking to make some deals happen. So very
exciting
time.
That's
indeed.
The key.
Yep,
that's
yep.
The key. Hopefully we'll get something settled there.
Yep. So hopefully next time we talk, we'll have some good news on that front. But as mentioned, guys, I apologize about jumping on late. We're in the middle of a nice little thunderstorm here in Atlanta, so it took me a while to log on. But in the interim, I'm glad everyone had a chance to listen to us. Check us out. We're going to have the Facebook page up as well, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Check us out there. And I'm sure we'll post some archived shows on there just to get some feedback and stuff like that. So unless you have anything else to say, Rob, I guess I'm going to sign off. So it's been a great show.
Yep, sounds good. We're looking forward to the next one. Tune in.
And that is a wrap. Talking soon. And this is going to be the our little. I just had a lot of fun with that.
Yeah, check you out.
They got this new little episode thing on there, so yeah. Turn it down a little bit, Yeah, that's cool. I mean, like I said, I'll get a chance to play that out because the first one is like it's just like a cold stop. It's like, boop, you're stopping. I'm like, oh, okay. So this is supposed to be like phase stuff up and down, so that'll be cool moving forward too. So anyway,
cool.
Follows on that. Appreciate your patience, man. Like I said, I was having some problems because it's like thunderstorming here, so it would not let me log on. I'm like, oh crap, so I'm freaking out. But I got on and. We're able to make sure that everything worked out. So I appreciate your patience with that, too. So,
no problem. No problem.
Cool beans, man. Like I said, have fun on the trip. It gives us a good time to circle back around for 2 weeks. And we'll see how everything plays out, man. I'm curious to see how the draft goes for the NBA. And, I don't know. Kyrie Irving is the man, so we'll see how everything plays out. And I'm sure if you're LeBron, you're probably like kicking yourself because you could have had a chance to play with a dynamic young guy like him. So, it is what it is. It's over. But
yeah, But at the same time, if LeBron was still in Cleveland, they wouldn't be having the number one pick either.
That's true. Once again, nice point as well. And they got two picks too. They got, man, are they going to trade those picks, you think, to somebody, or are they going to try to keep them, you think?
Well, they want two picks, and so they had a strong possibility of getting the one and the two pick. So they had a way of moving up from 4 to 2, and that they were working on. And it was supposed to be a 3-team deal. Not sure if they finalized it yet, but there's a strong possibility that they might have the one and two pick. And if so, you can see them getting Kyrie Irving and Derek Williams. That'd be pretty amazing.
That would be almost like highway robbery if that happened. I'm gonna say, man. I'm gonna say something's not right with that, man. I smell conspiracy theory foul, man. If that happens, man, I'm just saying.
there's definitely no conspiracy, man. Cleveland is not even a large market.
No, I'm just saying, it's just like, you know, I don't know. I agree with you, but it's just, well, it's like, come on, man. Seriously, the 1 and 2 pick, that never happens, man. That's just not
never
right.
Never happened. I don't think it's ever happened in the NBA or NFL where the same team has a 1 and 2 pick.
Never happens. See, that's why I have a problem with that, you know. I mean, everyone's feeling for them because they lost LeBron, but I'm just saying, come on, man. So, you know, I don't know. Even whenever the Hawks were that bad, we didn't even get number one pick. We got number freaking two pick, you know. We could have had Dwight Howard, but what happened? Nope. You got your boy, Slumlord. I'm sorry. I'm still a little bitter about that. Anyway. Oh, man. But it'll be good. We'll see how everything plays out. So we'll keep an eye on that in a couple of days. Next time we talk, we will talk about that as well. So that's it, sir.
Sounds good. Looking forward to it, Doc.
All right, sir. In 2 weeks, we'll get the party. We'll get it start. We'll get it popping. We'll talk about tight ends. Man, are we going to talk defense at some point? Any impact? You know, we're going to go through every position. It looks like.
Oh yeah, we're going to go. We skip fullbacks. We'll go tight ends. We'll go offensive line, and we start moving into the defense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll go with the centers next time.
The centers are going to be bunched in with the offensive line.
Oh, I got you. That's why I was joking, man. Impact Center, I'm sure everyone's going to be on the edge of their seats about that one. Oh, man, I'm just joking, Brad. All right, sir. Have a good one, man.
All right.
I'm trying to get off this line because I know it's thundering here, man. So I don't know if you're getting that as well either, but we'll definitely talk soon.
All right, Chief. We'll catch up later.
All right, sir. All right, have a good one.
All right.
Bye. Yeah.